the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I mentioned last Sunday, the Church offers us, at this time of the year, liturgical year, St. Paul's letter to the Romans. So I would like us, as best we can, as time allows, I would like us to enter as deeply into this letter and to mine the great treasures that are contained within it. We heard this morning that we are a people no longer under the law, but under grace. We are a people who are no longer slaves of sin. We can extend that to say slaves of death, but we are now slaves of righteousness. These words follow St. Paul's exposition on baptism. We will get to baptism in more detail in a few moments. For now, let us remember that St. Paul stresses that all those who are baptized into Christ are baptized into his death and baptized into his resurrection. Through baptism comes this new life. Through baptism comes our death to the old life, which includes death to the law and resurrection to the new life, the life with the triune and tripersonal God, the life that is no longer enslaved to sin and death, the life that is covered by grace. But to fully appreciate these terms, we have to backtrack a little bit. Last week, the pericope from Romans focused on the love of God revealed while we were weak, while we were sinners, while we were enemies of God. How is the love of God revealed?
Christ died for us.
Christ dies for us. And in and through that death, what happens to us? We use the word justice, justification, and righteousness. What happens to us in and through the death and resurrection of Christ? We who are weak, who are sinners, who are enemies of God, are in and through the death of Christ reconciled to God. What does reconciled mean? Just to make sure we are on the same page.
We are at peace with God.
We are at peace with God. And when we are at peace with God, we are one with God. We are joined to God. Earlier in this letter, St. Paul says that there is no one who is righteous. He mentions this in very clear language. He is quoting from the Psalter. There is no one who is righteous, not even one. In fact, we can say there is only one righteous one. And who is that?
Christ.
Jesus Christ. The righteous one dies for the unrighteous. The one who is sinless dies for those who are sinful. The one who is one with the Father and the Spirit draws us in our weakness, in our brokenness, in our sin to the new life that is in and through Him, bringing us to the Father and to the Spirit. Jesus comes into the world to give us this new life, and St. Paul wants to make this very clear, that it is Jesus, the only sinless one, the only righteous one, who is able to accomplish this. The law cannot reconcile us to God. If indeed it did, then, as Paul says elsewhere, Christ died in vain. There was no need for Jesus to die. But because we confess Jesus to be the pre-eternal Word, Son of God, incarnate for us through the Spirit and the Virgin Mary, this death and resurrection is foundational, fundamental to who we are as his disciples, to who we are as human beings. Jesus, the righteous one, takes on our sin and our death and enables us to have new and eternal life. Now let's look for a moment before we get to being slaves of righteousness. Let's look for a moment again at this word justification and the word righteousness. I mentioned last week that justification focuses on our being reconciled to God. And righteousness refers to our having the proper relationship with God. This, as St. Paul stresses, is through the power, the gift of grace. Now, when we hear this term, justification, when we hear the term righteousness, when we say that we are justified in Christ, that we are made righteous in Christ, are we talking about moral perfection? Are we talking about the attainment of completion of virtue? What are we talking about here? What is St. Paul talking about? If earlier in the letter he says, no one is righteous, not even one, then how are we to understand these terms, justice, or justification, or righteous, or righteousness?
Righteousness
is a gift, so we can
absolutely right.
So we are beyond the warm point. Righteousness is a gift. And this righteousness, this right relationship with God, which, keep in mind, we can't get into it now because I'm afraid it might confuse some of you. This righteousness that comes through Christ has an eschatological dimension. It is pointing simultaneously to what is happening now in and through Christ and what will happen at the end. We are righteous only because we are initiated into the very life of God in and through our baptism. In and through our baptism, we have put on Christ, St. Paul says in his letter to the Galatians. In putting on Christ, we put on the righteousness of Christ. In putting on Christ, even while we were weak, while we were sinful, while we were enemies of God, we put on this gift which establishes us in the right relationship with God. In putting on Christ, we enter into this new life which calls us to be dead in sin. This death in sin is a process. It is something that we are continuously developing in, that we are continuously growing in, to die to sin, to live in Christ is a process. And as this process unfolds, we can precisely give thanks to that gift, the gift of righteousness that comes from God. What about justification? What does justification mean? In English.
To give reason to something.
To give reason for something. Okay, can we add to that?
To correct the right.
To
correct
to correct someone. And in that correction, there is reconciliation. There is the carrying out of the law. But in this case, justification again, we have to stress this again and again, justification means, and we have to keep in mind that St. Paul has in his mind a courtroom scene. So when justification takes place in the courtroom, there is the pronouncing of one's guilt or one's innocence. In the courtroom that St. Paul is thinking about in relationship to Christ, who is the only righteous one, the only sinless one, the one who justifies us before God, what is happening in that courtroom? This has a tremendous impact on how the law cannot give us the life that Christ gives us. What happens in this courtroom through Christ's death and resurrection? Those who are guilty, that is all of us, are what?
Declared innocent.
Declared in or acquitted. Acquitted. We'll try to make this as much of a courtroom scene for now as possible. We are acquitted. We are loosed from our sin and from our death. This can only occur in and through Christ. The law cannot do this. Now this brings us to this morning's reading. We are dead to the law and recipients of the gift of grace. Is this license to sin?
No.
No. So what is St. Paul saying in this morning's letter? You Romans and you Bostonians have this new life in Christ. Something has happened. You are no longer slaves to sin and death. You are no longer bound to the old life, but you are bound and therefore slaves to the one who has acquitted you, to the one who has rescued you, to the one who has saved you. Now, in this slavery to the one who has freed us, there is the true freedom. Why? Why is it that when we are servants, and more specifically, when we are slaves of God, we are free?
Because of love. Because of love. Disobedience is in love.
Because disobedience is in love, and? There's perfect freedom in love, so we are not being forced into this relationship with God. We can choose to remain people under the law. We can choose to reject. Indeed, we can continue to be the enemies of God and oppose Him and turn away from Him. But if we truly love Him, if indeed our life in Christ is a response of love to the divine love which has been poured out upon us. If our life is a response of love to God who loves us first, as we hear in the Johannine Epistle, then what we do, how we live, reflects this new life. Therefore, we are not free to sin. We have no license to sin, but we have the license, we have the freedom to enter as deeply as possible into this new life that is freely given to us by Christ's death and resurrection. And only when we can enter this dynamic of responding to the divine love, can we begin to taste sin and free them from death. In chapter 5 of Romans, St. Paul says, through one man, sin enters the world, and through sin, death. Through another man, Jesus Christ, comes new life. The new Adam calls all of us into this new life, so that indeed, while we are weak, while we are sinners, while we are even, at times enemies of God, nevertheless, if the mind and the heart are open to the one who has died and risen for us, then indeed this process of freedom continues to unfold for all eternity, making us now and forever children of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.